Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, we're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, and you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, and for Chase, Willie, and D-Mace today. Now, we'll hear from Mike Vrabel very shortly. He'll take the podium, kind of breaking down what you saw last night. But honestly, Joe, what I want to hear the most from Mike Vrabel is, you know, we heard his thoughts on the game last night. We heard his frustration about Malik Willis last night and about he asked Malik Willis to throw. He didn't throw. But I think what I want to hear most from Mike Vrabel is, okay, what's next? Moving forward, how have things changed? You know, is there going to be a switch up between the twos and the threes? Is there a guy who's been taking snaps with the twos that proved himself last night who's going to move up to the ones? I think, okay, what's the plan moving forward, and what are we going to see against the Bucks in these joint practices? I'm excited to kind of to hear the plan moving forward and really how much information Mike Vrabel is even going to divulge about that.
Well, good point there too as well. They've already watched the film overall. I'm sure they've broken everything down. So now he has an understanding of what maybe some things that Willis did better than they thought, or maybe there's some things that he didn't do as well as they thought once they see the game film from last night. So I'm sure they've poured over that this morning and everything, and so there'll be more. So you can't really say, well, I didn't go to the film. Wait till I see the film. You've seen the film. Now we know what you think about that going forward. Another question will be asked about, all right, now do we switch roles? Does Woodside get to come in and start next week the same way that Willis did? And it'll be great to see his answer of the non-answer he'll give us for that. So I'm really excited for this non-answering press conference that Mike Vrabel's about to have any second now.
And Mike Vrabel is at the podium, so here is Mike Vrabel. Now,
this is all happening pretty quick and much quicker with more consequences in the game than what it's been in practice. I mean, it's live, and, you know, they're coming to get the quarterback when we drop back to throw it. And obviously, you know, we have to help them out in progression and in protection. But, you know, there were some times where, you know, things looked really good, and there were some times where we can go out and practice and clean things up.
How do you handle better organization, the huddle, timing? You know, some of the other stuff.
Yeah, we didn't have, you know, I mean, we didn't have any issues, I think. I thought he did well there. I thought he was coachable. I thought he came over and understood, you know, what we were trying to get done. You know, the feedback that I've gotten from the coaches, from Todd and Pat, were positive. Thanks, guys.
So with Willis, as far as, like, the athletic side of him, is it tough to – because I know you want that playmaker, make it 11-on-11 football, but is it tough to kind of balance that with wanting him to make plays from the pocket and play the quarterback?
Tough in what standpoint? I don't know what tough. Tough on me or tough on who?
For you as a coach.
No, I mean, not tough. I mean, we've talked – we went in there and talked, and, you know, anybody that shows up here tomorrow – with a great attitude and showed a willingness to play with great effort and you know, continue to improve. It's coaching. It's not tough. It's just showing them and saying, hey, you know, this is there. And if it's not, you know, then progress through or whatever it is for each position. And the guys that, you know, may not have a great attitude or don't want to be coached or, you know, we don't have many guys like that. And so, you know, we'll coach them and fix it and keep working on it. And we're coming up with drills to, you know, get them to climb the pocket when guys are rushing in the edge and, you know, trusting the middle of the pocket and being able to slide. You know, we were just talking about the one where, you know, the you know, Brew gave up a little penetration and, you know, being able to slide and then climb the pocket and find Mason. And so I don't know if he's, you know, had a play like that in practice, but it's something that they rep and that they do each day, an individual, to being able to slide, take care of the football, move up in the pocket, you know, and get the ball out. You know, just like on the first play. I mean, we got Racy. We have to hit Racy. You know what I mean? Racy does a fantastic job of getting through the traffic. But then he comes back and he made some plays, and, you know, that's what happens.
You talked Logan was maybe anticipating Godwin staying on an inside.
Well, I mean, we have to get some help from the receiver. We can't release in there, and we have to probably not go there and not try to press and throw the ball there. You know, and then Terry, you know, the receivers were coaching them to go and do whatever they have to do, you know, especially down there in the end zone to break up that pass. So I think there's a lot of people, you know, that have to be better on that particular play. It starts with the decision. You know, if you go over there and you don't like it, you know, then just try to check the ball down. But, you know, receiver, you know, we don't want him to release inside. And then, you know, we'll just make a great decision and try to compete and do everything we can to not get that ball intercepted.
You mentioned the pressure with Logan. He mentioned the pressure. I mean, if he's coming into a game for you, he's going to see pressure and have to sort through it and do better than that, no?
Yeah, I mean, we all deal with, you know, the mental side of it, you know, the mental side of whatever our individual situation is. And, you know, competing, everybody's competing for a job. And, you know, we all have to process that and we have to work through that. And one of the strengths that Logan has had has been his command of the offense, his decisions. You know, and I would anticipate that that's going to, you know, improve from what it was last night.
Do you consider backup quarterback something that's still an open competition depending on how Logan and Malik might perform?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how big of a challenge was it, I guess, from a number standpoint, personnel standpoint, to get your combination on the offensive line, moving guys to different spots, and how you think that group did as a whole?
Well, I mean, we got off to a slow start offensively. You know, a couple three and outs, and, you know, with the fumble, you know, and you look at the fumble, much like an interception. You know, I think that, you know, Tommy could have helped protect the guy with the ball. I think Nick Petit could have helped protect the guy with the ball. And, you know, that, yes, ultimately the guy that has the ball is responsible for taking care of it. But, you know, we have to, you know, make sure that everybody's seeing this as a group effort, as a team effort. And they all did some good things. And, you know, Brew was able to, you know, I thought his leadership with Ben not there or out there, I thought his leadership was something that was probably, you know, the best thing he did last night. And, you know, Jamarco was in there for a little bit. Dylan was in there. And, you know, Nick did some good things and, you know, some plays that they'd all like to have back.
How much of the line play was simplified last night and just, hey, block the guy in front of you so that you can evaluate them that way?
Well, I mean, it's never just block the guy in front of you. There's always has to be some, you know, some sort of scheme and some communication, whether they're pressuring and, you know, we're going, you know, whatever way we're working. I mean, you know, once it shakes out, I guess a couple seconds into the play and you've identified who you have, you know, then it's blocking them. But I think part of the evaluation process is being able to sort through all the different looks and the calls that we have to make. You know, the pressure that we're getting. So I think that that's also part of the evaluation is how they're able to handle that as it, you know, shakes out or as it changes throughout the course of the play.
Mike played a couple of special team snaps. Is that somewhere you consider using him, or is that a way to test him in a different way?
No, I mean, we've always played starters, you know what I mean, where they feel like they can help us, you know, on special teams. We know how critical that is. You know, Kevin Byard's been a personal protector for us. Caleb was locked in and really did a nice job. Got the guy into a penalty, forced him to run out of bounds on his own, use the technique that we're talking about, you know. 12:10. Was you taking a nap at 12:10 in the afternoon? It says snooze. Snooze. It's time to wake up. We got 8 minutes and 50 seconds. I won't be out here that long. So he was really into it. And he knew to talk to the official. He knew what to do to get that penalty. Again, but there's more to coach there. We have to go and finish. We got to finish blocking the guy. It's only a 5-yard penalty. So if the guy goes down there and tackles the returner for no gain, you know, the 5 yards isn't enough. So it was a good start. He was locked in, and he wanted to be out there and wanted to help. Executed the technique. We just have to finish the block.
That scramble that Malik had, his last play before you took him out, was that was kind of like the trigger where, like, okay, he has to come out?
Yeah, it was like throw that ball or, you know, we were going to go on to Logan. Logan, the plan was to have Malik play the first half, Logan play the second half, wanted to take the football, like I told you. Wanted to force, you know, Malik into – wanted to get this thing going and get him out there and compete. right from the get-go and see how he responded. But then after that, I'm like, okay, we put you back out there for the second half. And he knows that, you know what I mean? We told him that. I said, hey, we're going to let you go out there. And, you know, we told Logan he's going to start Malik's going to start. And, you know, we wanted him to rip it, and he didn't. And so I'm sure he'll rip it the next time that he has an opportunity.
Mike, even though Traylon didn't have a catch yesterday, how would you kind of assess the work?
Inconsistent. I'm really, you know, and I wish that I would have an opportunity to talk to Traylon. You know, and I don't think this is going to be anything earth-shattering, but just being able to take the progress, the some of the improvements that we saw in practice and carry them over to the game. And that I don't think happened enough, you know. And so, but he was, you know, just talking to Craig Aukerman and Chase, and he was out there. He was active on special teams. He wanted to block on kickoff return. He wanted to be a part of that. You know, I think there were some really positive things as far as our kickoff, our special teams units that we can build off. There were some guys that, you know, young guys that we said that they needed to be productive and show up. You know, Chig played with great effort. Hassan played well on special teams, you know what I mean, showed up and just improved on some of these young guys that maybe that wasn't their primary job in college, trying to take that next step. So those are all part of the evaluation process. So we'll need to see, you know, Traylon will have to come out here and have a good week and, you know, keep having a great attitude.
Richard Roberson have a ding, or was it part of your plan just not to include him last night?
No, I mean, I just would say that everybody that, you know, just working through something, you know, I don't think it would have been fair to put him in there, you know, with where he was health-wise. Everybody that was healthy enough to play in the game, you know, played in the game. I told you that. I'm proud of that and give those guys an opportunity.
What did Gracie show you on that kickoff return? 30 yards is a number you would like, I would guess, yes?
Sure. We'll take as many as we can get. You know, he's a big, fast guy that keeps showing up. He had, had the tackle, you know, and he made a mistake on kickoff coverage as well, too. But, you know, had the return, had a tackle, had an assist. You know, we'll just keep showing up, and I would say that, you know, he's going to keep earning more opportunities in both phases, offense and special teams.
You mentioned a couple of the rookies. Was there one rookie in particular that stood out to you more or exceeded your expectations yesterday?
You know, I mean, I think you just look at some of the guys that maybe, you know, have come in from the post-draft. I think, you know, Julius did some good things outside of the fumble, hustled his effort on special teams was noticeable. Dr. Gibby, his effort on special teams is going to earn him more opportunities on special teams. Chig's effort on special teams, that's what we're looking for, really, and, you know, trying to improve, obviously, in their first job on offense or defense.
Chris Jackson going to be all right? Or
We're still evaluating him, and we'll see where he's at for the joint practices this week.
On a night where most of the top guys on defense didn't play, was there something you wanted to see out of Fulton, you know, to get him out there?
Well, just the preparation to go play and, you know, continue to string together. You know, I think his best work has been most recent in training camp as far as the practices, and wanted to try to continue that. I don't know if, you know, that was necessarily the case. It wasn't terrible, but I think it were, you know, hold him to a high standard. And but he was into it on the sidelines, helping the younger guys after he was out. So, you know, just wanted to try to keep getting those guys some work.
All right, that's Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. His press conference coming off last night's loss to the Baltimore Ravens 23-10 in their first preseason game of the season. A few things that stood out. Vrabel's talk that we always love, was asked which rookies stood out. He did not really signify anybody that stood out great. He named a couple of guys here and there who their special teams play might have been good, might have been bad, nothing like that. Interesting what he said about Traylon Burks last night. Said he was inconsistent. You know, and I'm not expected Mike Vrabel to come out and say, you know what, Traylon Burks, if he doesn't make All-Pro this year after what I've seen in 2 weeks, then what is football? So the fact that he keeps Burks humble and says he's inconsistent, what's going on, got to work harder, we got to carry, you know, he praised him a little bit. What goes over from practice, we got to see that in the game more. As I said earlier in the show with Caroline, first play of the game with Willis, you should have just got dropped back, thrown the ball as far as you can to Treylon Burks, see his separation, see his burst off the ball, see what he can do, and maybe make a play. That's what I wanted to see. But also, I thought a good question from David Beauclair is going to join us at the top of the hour about making the game plan so simple. Does a guy just block the guy in front of you? And, you know, for those that's played football, you remember, you know, there's a lot of moving around going on. You block the guy, basically block the guy in front of you with the defense moving around. I thought that was a great question from Beauclair. And of course, Vrabel disagreed and said, no, it's not that. You block, you know, what the play is designed to do, blah, blah, blah. But a nice question, and then more yapping about the O-line. But overall, a typical Mike Vrabel press conference as they move forward now and get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We have Caroline.
Yes, I mean, there's a few things that, a few questions that I had that I think Vrabel answered without actually answering them, and those are just my translation of the Vrabelese speak that I've learned to speak so well. And I think another thing that he continued to harp on with a lot of the rookies, what makes them stand out over other ones, what makes them so valuable, he mentioned that over and over again, and I want to get into exactly what that was coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought on that, Caroline Fenton, Big Joe Dubin, it's Chase William D-Mays on 1025-1063, The Game.
You mentioned a couple of the rookies. Was there one rookie in particular that stood out to you more or exceeded your expectations yesterday?
You know, I mean, I think you just look at some of the guys that maybe, you know, have come in from the post-draft. I think, you know, Julius did some good things outside of the fumble, hustled. His effort on special teams was noticeable. Dr. Gibby, his effort on special teams is going to earn him more opportunities on special teams. Chig's effort on special teams, that's what we're looking for, really, and, you know, trying to improve, obviously, in their first job on offense or defense.
There you go. It was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel who just took the podium. And I think that that clip right there is one of the biggest things that stood out to me. You know, you always want to talk about which rookies can contribute, who is going to be the most valuable to this team. And I think Mike Vrabel just told you there exactly what is so valuable for really anyone on this team, but for these rookies that are coming in. How can they find a starting spot for themselves? Special teams! He just told you over and over again which rookie stood out to you the most. Well, Julius, you know, outside of the fumble, he was good on special teams. Chigakonkwo liked his effort on special teams. What did he say about Caleb Farley earlier at the podium? He said he did a really nice job. You can see him on special teams blocking. So I think that's what Mike Vrabel is really harping on with a lot of these rookies who might need a little bit more grooming, who might not be, you know, a bona fide starter on this football team. If you can contribute on special teams, that's what's going to make you so much more valuable to this football team. He said special teams like 6 or 7 times in that clip. It's the special teams and the guys who can contribute on punt return, kick return, blocking, whatever it might be. Guys who can contribute on special teams are more valuable than guys who can't.
I totally agree. And real quick, by the way, we got a winner for our Michael Bublé question. I got people texting me.
Woo-hoo!
And you're all wrong. This is not a hard question. The question was, Mike Vrabel got traded from the Patriots to the Chiefs in 2009. There were two players traded. One was a former Titans quarterback. Another, the Titans quarterback that got traded with Vrabel was Matt Cassel. So Matt Cassel and Vrabel were traded to the Chiefs in 2009. Of course, Cassel was a quarterback here in 2016, 2017. And Nick, who was the winner again? Yeah, I didn't hear the name that you gave me right there.
It was John Autry.
John Autry. Way to go, John. Tuesday night, Michael Bublé, you and Mike Vrabel down there front row seeing that show. By the way, another trivia question coming up in the 1 o'clock hour with that. Now, Caroline, you make a great point. Look, Treylon Burks is going to start. First rounders are usually going to start for the most part, but special teams is where you make the mark. If you're not a guy that's guaranteed a spot with the ones, you make your way on special teams and you get it started. That's where it all goes. So, yeah, he mentioned that quite a bit, and you see that. I thought that Paul Kuharsky had a really good question to Vrabel about Logan Woodside and said, Logan Woodside talked about the pressure going the game, but during a regular season game, that pressure's still going to be there going in right. If you get called upon. And, of course, Vrabel gave some weird Dr. Phil answer about mental and this and that. And I thought it was a really good question because you talk about Logan Woodside. We talked about a lot about him today. When he gets to the game, he talked about the pressure from last night. That's pressure playing the number three string Ravens. What are you going to do when you're playing the number one Bills if something happens to Ryan Tannehill? So that was an excellent question by Paul on that. And then Vrabel's response is, look, it's all mental. Get past that mental block, and you still got to go out and perform and do what you're called upon. So that's the one from Vrabel and Kuharsky that I really liked.
I agree with you there. And Dr. Phil Hinser's pretty spot on there about, you know, the mental aspect of it all. But yeah, I do think it's a very fair question, because if Logan Woodside is QB2, he has to come in. I mean, this is not Logan Woodside's first rodeo. I would have expected Malik Willis to come in there with maybe a little bit of nerves, a little bit of jitters, a little bit of pressure, because he's never felt that before. This is nothing new to Logan Woodside. So a little bit of a learning curve with Logan Woodside is not to be expected. But I'm glad that you brought up Logan Woodside, because there was something else that Vrabel mentioned about one of Logan Woodside's interceptions. This was Vrabel earlier at the podium.
You mentioned the pressure with Logan. He mentioned the pressure. I mean, if he's coming into a game for you, he's going to see pressure and have to sort through it and do better than that, no?
Yeah, I mean, we all deal with, you know, the mental side of it, you know, the mental side of whatever our individual situation is. And, you know, competing, everybody's competing for a job. And, you know, we all have to process that, and we have to work through that. And one of the strengths that Logan has had has been his command of the offense, his decisions. You know, and I would anticipate that's going to, you know, improve from what it was last night.
Yeah, there was Vrabel's classic Dr. Phil answer there. Oh, but I thought it was interesting that Vrabel used two words to describe some of Logan Woodside's strengths, and that was command of the offense and decisions. I don't think either of those came to fruition last night. And one of the questions kind of that I had going into this was one of Logan Woodside's interceptions, that ball to Terry Godwin. You know, I saw on Twitter, and even myself, I questioned, you know, is that on Terry Godwin? Because he kind of separated himself from coverage and then kind of fell back in. So I thought, was that on Woodside? Was it a poor decision by Woodside, or was that on Terry Godwin? So if we're going to talk about Logan Woodside's decision-making, I think Mike Vrabel just told you at the beginning of his press conference that was on Logan Woodside, because he couched it with, you know, you need your help from the receiver. You know, you got to be better on that play. Everyone's got to be better on that play. But he said, don't throw the ball there. It starts with the decision.
Yep.
And that's exactly what it was. And I'm not going to put that on Terry Godwin. Yeah, sure, maybe the route could have been run a little bit more clean. But ultimately, Logan Woodside made that decision to throw that ball into traffic. It starts with the decision. And Vrabel told you right there that interception was not on Terry Godwin. That was on Logan Woodside.
You're exactly right there. And also the question was followed up by, is this still an open, you know, competition for the backup? And he only said one word, yes. And then so we continue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it continues in the next week and into the week after, and make a decision. And, you know, they just love all this over there. Titans talk. We're sitting there at Titans training facility, because it's like the backup quarterback, and they're thinking, man, we won't see these guys. And if you do, you know what the season's going to be like. And they're loving that over there, because, you know, it's none of the talk about the number ones that are going on. It's just about some individual guys who are trying to make your mark on a football team. And, you know, they know for the most part who all the starters are going to. They know. There might be one guy, maybe two, that positions they don't know about, but they know. Now you just solidify the backups. It's the same thing, Caroline. Every camp, every year, it's the same MO that these guys go through. But open competition quarterback is still there. There's still a lot of work to be done with the rookies and Traylon, inconsistent yesterday. Just the same thing, but, you know, at least he talked. At least he got more out of him today than you would get from a Bill Belichick press conference.
Don't worry about it. But 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your Titans thoughts. Plus, two more things that stood out to me from Mike Vrabel's press conference that I want to get into with Joe. So we will do that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Big Joe Dubin. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
You talked Logan was maybe anticipating Godwin staying on an inside.
Well, we have to get some help from the receiver. We can't release in there. We have to probably not go there and not try to press and throw the ball there. You know, and then Terry, you know, the receivers were coaching them to go and do whatever they have to do, you know, especially down there in the end zone to break up that pass. So I think there's a lot of people, that have to be better on that particular play. It starts with the decision. You know, if you go over there and you don't like it, then just try to check the ball down. But, receiver, you know, we don't want him to release inside. And then, you know, we'll just make a great decision and try to compete and do everything we can to not get that ball intercepted.
Hey, everybody's got to be better on that play. But, it ultimately comes down to the decision. So everybody's got to be is responsible for that interception. But really, it was just Logan Woodside. That was Mike Vrabel at the podium earlier. But hey, we are your race and station 102.5 and 106.3. The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 p.m. for the Federated Auto Parts 400. Also, you can join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Chase and Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for race weekend. NASCAR 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. So, Joe, there's one thing that really stood out to me there in Vrabel's press conference, and also David Beauclair, who was there, will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on Mike Vrabel's press conference and the game last night. But one thing that really stood out to me was when Mike Vrabel was asked about the plan with the quarterbacks. The plan last night, you know, was it the plan to start Malik Willis in the first half? Was it the plan to start Malik Willis in the second? And he said, yeah, you know, that's was our plan all along. We wanted to see both of them. We wanted to see Malik Willis in the first half. It was our plan to put Logan Woodside there in the second half. And, you know, if you're just observing as a third party observer, you would say, hey, yeah, that makes sense. You know, you've got two backup quarterbacks that are, you know, kind of vying for a certain position that are battling for this backup quarterback position, so to speak. It makes sense to see them both. But that doesn't make sense to me because that doesn't match up with what Mike Vrabel said last night about what he did last night, about taking Malik Willis out at the half. If we have that clip. Okay, we don't have that ready yet, but Mike Vrabel said the plan all along was to start Malik Willis in the first half and Logan Woodside would be in the second. And last night, Mike Vrabel was not happy about Malik Willis. And he spoke last night and said, I was going to pull Malik Willis because I told him to start throwing the ball and he didn't throw the ball. So I pulled him at the half. That to me doesn't sound like something that a coach would say if the plan all along was to start Logan Woodside in the second half. This was Mike Vrabel last night on his decision to pull Malik Willis.
You brought Logan in the middle of a drive. Is that because you want to put him in kind of a scenario?
That no, that's because I wanted Malik to throw the ball, and he wasn't, so I put Logan in.
Okay, so that doesn't make any sense to me. You say today, you know, that was our plan all along. We wanted to see both of them. We were going to see Malik in the first half, Logan in the second half. That was the game plan. Well, last night, you just told us that you pulled Malik Willis because you wanted him to throw the ball, and he wasn't throwing the ball, so you pulled him and put Logan in. The math ain't mathin' on that one. So don't give me that, Mike Vrabel, that was your plan all along, because that does not sound like that was your plan all along. I think the plan all along was for Malik Willis to play that entire game last night, and Malik Willis wasn't doing what Mike Vrabel told him to. So Mike Vrabel put in Logan Woodside. Don't give me this whole this was the plan all along crap, because I am buying it.
Oh, that's interesting. No, I don't think there's any way they wanted Malik Willis to play the entire game. I think sometimes, you know, when talking to these coaches from years previous, they want to see a quarterback come back out. And how do they go through the halftime and the first series on the field, lead the team back on the field? Maybe that was it last night to see that. But, no, I just think last night the plan was to split these guys up. And I think it'll rotate this week as the Buccaneers come in. But, again, you know, he's not going to come out there, Carolina. You know this well. He's not going to come out and say, you know, my God, Malik Willis. I mean, that was Randall Cunningham out there. That was what he was doing out there, the plays he was making. That was amazing. Had Steve Young moves on when he's in the open field. I mean, we're not going to hear any of that. I mean, he still is going to put these rookies back where they belong, and that's in the rookie room, and nobody really stands out. And so I just think we'll get the same old from a Mike Vrabel that goes forward. But, I mean, look, part of him had to be excited to see when a play breaks down, to see Willis readjust the field, get the defense back on their heels, and score a touchdown. I mean, if you're not excited with the ad lib of your quarterback doing that, then something's wrong. And, you know, the pass to McMath down the field was a bullet. Great job of leading that. And they get upset.
It was a great pass.
Yeah, and they get upset at the things you do wrong. That's fine. That's coaching. You know, as I tell my son when he played, I mean, if the coach never talks to you, then he doesn't like you. Then there's something going on there. You got to move on. And the fact that Vrabel's sitting there and said, look, you didn't do what I asked. I'm yanking you out of the game. Love it. As we said earlier, all too often a player can dictate the narrative in a game and how things are going on. This time Vrabel's like, I asked you to do something specific. You didn't do it. Come sit with me on the sideline. That's what a head coach does.
Yeah, and I'm all for it. If he's not delivering the game plan how you want it, then fine, pull him. But what I'm not okay with, and maybe I shouldn't have said that the plan was to play Malik the whole game. Maybe that wasn't the plan, but I think the plan was to play Malik longer than just the first half. Because don't tell me that the plan all along was to play Malik in the first half and Logan in the second half. We went everything according to schedule. Everything is fine. Everything is dandy. Don't worry about it. And then last night, you said that you pulled Malik in the second. Well, pulling a player doesn't mean that that was your plan all along. So that just doesn't add up to me. But the second thing that really stood out to me from Vrabel's press conference, again, David Beauclair will join us in the 1 o'clock hour to break down what he saw from Vrabel's press conference. But I've really been looking at this left guard and this right tackle battle throughout training camp. We saw Aaron Brewer last night taking snaps at center. We saw Nicholas Petit-Frere start at left tackle, Dylan Radins at right tackle, then Radins was pulled. Nicholas Petit-Frere was taken over to the right side. So I've kind of wondered, you know, just a peek behind the curtain of what they're thinking, what they're seeing from these different guys that are kind of plugging and playing in different areas in the offensive line. This is what Vrabel had to say about Aaron Brewer, Nicholas Petit-Frere, and the other guys in the O-line last night.
Well, I mean, it's never just block the guy in front of you. There's always has to be some, you know, some sort of scheme and some communication, whether they're pressuring and, you know, we're going, you know, whatever way we're working. I mean, you know, once it shakes out, I guess a couple seconds into the play and you've identified who you have, you know, then it's blocking them. But I think part of the evaluation process is being able to sort through all the different looks and the calls that we have to make. You know, the pressure that we're getting. So I think that that's also part of the evaluation is how they're able to handle that as it, you know, shakes out or as it changes throughout the course of the play.
And that is a big part of it. How are you able to shift and adjust in the middle of a player in the middle of the game? I think it's an important thing. But he talks about the evaluation. And Vrabel's not going to tell you what they saw. He's not going to tell you the evaluation criteria that they use. But he did say a few things that stood out to me. And this is my interpretation of Vrabelese. But he harped on Aaron Brewer's leadership. He loves Aaron Brewer. He talks about Aaron Brewer all the time. He loves Aaron Brewer, so he harped on his leadership. I think that right there shows me that Aaron Brewer is most likely going to be starting at this left guard position. Because when he talked about Jamarco Jones, he said, Jamarco Jones was in there. So he's talking about Aaron Brewer. He's a great leader, great guy, so on and so forth. A few days ago, he said he's tougher than a $2 steak. Jamarco was in there. And he said, Nick did good things. Dylan was in there. So, I mean, call me crazy, but this is what I have to do with Vrabelese, is pick out every single little word that he says and psychoanalyze it. But saying that Brewer's a great leader, Nicholas did good things, that to me shows me that Aaron Brewer is the front runner for this left guard position, and Nicholas Petit-Frere, they like a lot, and that Dylan and Jamarco were just there, that they're just pieces. They're just guys.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, they want to see, and again, we'll get more, and I keep harping this, and I'm sorry about these open practices with the Buccaneers and the Cardinals come to the joint practices. I mean, you'll see a lot of, now you're going against the other guy. How could Brewer do good? How did Radins, how's he going to do going forward with this? Mm-hmm. And I think they would love nothing more for Dylan Radins to say, all right, I'm going to be your right tackle. You're going to have to move me out of here. Put Brewer in there, and then you're good to go. You got your five, and you move on. But Petit-Frere has thrown kind of a wrench in there. He's a big player, a big guy. I can move people out of the way. So I like the fact they got choices here, the fact that they don't have to play. You know, you weren't here in 2013 and or actually 2014 and 15. They had offensive line guys that I swear to God worked at Kroger and Donaldson. I mean, they had guys like, I saw you at Kroger, and now you're playing for the time. They were so bad, Caroline.
You're just bagging my groceries.
With these linemen, because it was like plug and play. Now you don't have that anymore. You've got actually death. You got guys fighting for competition. So as a football coach, you love this, what's going on right now. And they got options, but they would love nothing more than Raiders to say, look, this is my job, and Brewer to say, this is my job. You got your five, boom, go forward, and that's how you approach this season.
And to your point, yeah, you can take anything you want from preseason games, but I do think that these joint practices are going to be so telling, because you're not going up against sixth round defensive back from, you know, Buckcrack State University in a preseason game. Right. You're going up against the first team for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so those will be very telling. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your Titans thoughts coming up next. We'll do that coming up next. Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, 1025-1063, The Game.
So you talked. Logan was maybe anticipating Godwin staying on an inside.
Well, I mean, we have to get some help from the receiver. We can't release in there, and we have to probably not go there and not try to press and throw the ball there, you know. And then Terry, you know, receivers, we're coaching them to go and do whatever they have to do, you know, especially down there in the end zone to break up that pass. So I think there's a lot of people, you know, that have to be better on that particular play. It starts with the decision, you know. If you go over there and you don't like it, you know, then just try to check the ball down. But, you know, receiver, you know, we don't want him to release inside. And then, you know, we'll just make a great decision and try to compete and do everything we can to not get that ball intercepted.
Oh, that was Mike Vrabel at the podium earlier. And I think in his Mike Vrabel way, that was him saying that Logan Woodside, that interception intended for Terry Godwin, that was on Logan Woodside. That was not on Terry Godwin. He said it starts with a decision. Absolutely, it does. But we're talking about the Titans' preseason game last night, lost to the Baltimore Ravens, but it's not necessarily about the outcome to me. It was to see how the rookies look out there. How do they look outside of this training camp setting, and how do they look in a real NFL game setting? And Joe Dubin is with us, and for Willie, Chase, and D-Mace, I think that Mike Vrabel's comments about Treylon Burks were very interesting, because he said that Treylon Burks was inconsistent. And he wanted to see all the progress that Treylon Burks has been making in practice. He wanted to see that translate into the game. And he didn't necessarily see that. Yeah. I wonder exactly what he was talking about there.
Well, I don't, you know, again, there's things that we didn't see because, you know, we're watching the game. Yeah. And, you know, if he didn't hold his block, he didn't drive the DB down the field like he should have. I mean, I mean, we could sit there nitpicking, and they will do that, which is fine because they can ISO on Treylon Burks, see what he did. I mean, I thought the carry he had, the 4 yard, you know, that's fine. Move him around a different way to show he could do that. But to say he's inconsistent, I don't, you know, for the short time we saw him in the field last night. But he did say, though, I mean, he did give him a little bit of praise. Like, you know, we just see some of the good stuff that carry over in the practice field into the game. But that's so hard to see after what you saw last night and, you know, getting the one target. But I bet Vrabel would go down the list and say, inconsistent to all these guys. Simple fact, that's a great go-to word when you really don't have a lot to say. You just say, it's inconsistent. You know, it's not really putting you down. It's like there's some promise there. You got to get better. So it's a little inconsistent right there. But, yeah, that was I didn't see too much into it. I just don't know. I wish he would explain more. What did you see that made you think he was inconsistent? I would like a little more clarification on that. Again, he doesn't owe us anything, and he's from the Belichick school of talking. So, that was an interesting choice. That was an interesting word he used for Treylon Burks yesterday.
And what exactly was the progress that he had seen in practice that didn't translate to the game? Is it getting open? To your point, is it blocking? Is it contribution to special teams? Because that's something that Vrabel continued to harp on. Because to your point, you know, that's just a word that he uses. Well, with the other rookies, he talks about Chigakonkwo and Hassan Haskins. Both of them says that there's been improvement, good effort, and good on special teams. That's something that a compliment that he paid to anyone he spoke positively about. He added in good on special teams. So I wonder if the progress that Treylon Burks has been making in practice was in special teams, or the inconsistency that he saw was in special teams. But again, he won't tell you.
You know,
he won't know.
I looked this up too. So Vrabel's first 4 years in the league with the Pittsburgh Steelers, drafted in third round. He played in, all right, get this. He played in 51 games for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Caroline, how many games do you think he started in those 51 he played? Now, remember, we're harping on special teams here, which he was talking about. How many do you think he played?
How many he started?
How many games did he start? He played 51 games for the Steelers. How many games did he start?
Maybe half?
Zero.
Okay, all right.
That's why he harps. He's, look, I'm telling you guys, you want to make the team, you make it on special teams. That's how he made the Pittsburgh Steelers. Special teams. You go out and get it done. Uh-huh. And then he goes and plays for the Patriots. And my goodness, he started so many games in the year and finished up with the Chiefs. So he already established himself. So he's telling these guys, look, you want a blueprint to make this football team? Give me all you got on special teams. That will get you me looking at you more, talking about you more, and then make the decision a lot easier when it comes to trimming this roster to 53 or whatever, how many players on the team now.
Okay, he made that very, very clear. If you can contribute on special teams, you are going to be that much more valuable to this football team. But let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew texts in and says, Jared was absolutely right. Willis sucked bad. I wouldn't say that Willis sucked bad. Malik Willis showed flashes of good, and he showed flashes of bad. I wouldn't say overall he sucked bad. If I was going to put that label on anyone from last night, probably be Logan Woodside.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jared, you know. He had almost had the same tweet last night. Because I had a tweet, I was like, I'd like to watch this Titans-Ravens game, but the TV angle they're giving me, I feel like I'm watching from Mars. And then Jared had one and said that he got better angles on the Friday night MyTV 30 high school game watching, which is so true. But the TV angles last night, I would have liked to have seen more, but, you know, it's tough watching a game from the International Space Station to go down. But, no, I don't think he sucked last night. I mean, I get Jared's deal. I mean, he's trying to get him up, people talking. I get all that. And I don't know actually what he wanted to see out of Malik Willis last night. I thought what we saw was fine for a guy, a rookie quarterback, making his first start in the National Football League in a big game versus the Baltimore Ravens. Even though it's preseason, still a big game to him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And to your point, there were several plays that I had to go back, and I watched it on my phone and paused it, screenshotted it, and zoomed in to see what was going on there. I did that several times. The angles were bad. But Matthew in Nashville texts in and says, if I were Logan, I would be pissed. They seem to forget about him or just don't care, but if I were him, I'd want to go somewhere else. I mean, why would he be pissed? He's a backup quarterback.
Right.
I think he knows his role very well. I think he's fine with his role. He's a backup quarterback. He's a career backup quarterback. And he's made a decent amount of money doing it. I don't know where he would go, where he would start. He's not one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. Where's he going?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, he's not going to get set back up if he gets another team. So, no, I mean, just, you know, he probably says, look, I want my opportunity this week. He might come and have the greatest opportunity next Saturday night against the Buccaneers in the preseason game, and he might get to start against the Cardinals in the third preseason. I mean, he's going to have opportunity to prove himself here in the next 2 weeks with the joint practices and the two preseason games against the Buccaneers and the Cardinals. So it's up to him now what he wants to do.
Ben texts in the text line and says, when Logan was playing, those defensive players probably aren't going to make the team. It was an unexcusable performance. I don't know what you know, what defensive backs are and aren't going to make the Baltimore Ravens. But to that point, Logan Woodside wasn't throwing to Marcus Peters. Logan Woodside was throwing to defensive preseason players.
Yeah,
that's,
you're right.
That's the concern, is if he's throwing picks in a regular game against, you know, a Marcus Peters, for example, that's to be more understood. I don't think he'd ever be set up in a position to throw picks like that in a regular season game if he were to come in relief of Ryan Tannehill. But that's kind of the depressing thing. And that's kind of what is, I think, scaring a lot of us, is the fact that, I mean, Logan Woodside was not going up against starters in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, you know, it was bad last night. You go out and you try to make a better performance for these next two times. And then, again, we talked about it, and I think whoever starts that third preseason game, that's your backup quarterback, because that's now you're a week and a half out from the opening game against the Giants on September the 11th. Now you go out and you're going to lead that team. And I think, you know, that third game, whoever the quarterback is, Caroline, I think they play almost the entire game, just because that could be their last chance for a while to get that kind of action, get those kind of reps against another football team if, God forbid, again, Ryan Tannehill goes down.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. What does David Beauclair think? He was there at Vrabel's press conference. We'll get his thoughts on what Vrabel had to say, plus his thoughts on the game last night. So we'll chat with David Beauclair on the other side. It's Caroline Fenton, Joe Dubin, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025 and 106.3 The Game.